Talofa Lava, and welcome to Lamata Loanu. Thank you for your time.
There is, Marlo Kevin. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. Where shall we begin? With Ahikaroa on Māori Plus. So this is Māori television streaming platform, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Whakata Māori, excuse me. Yeah, thank you.
No worries. So this is actually a bit of a hidden gem. It's the longest running scripted Māori drama show that I discovered a couple of weeks ago. And now it's fifth season, which will be premiering tonight on Whakata Māori, but came out earlier for those who have the Māori Plus app.
All right. Go ahead.
Yep, so it's a bilingual drama series that follows the lives and stories of Kurukaupapa raised urban rangatahi Māori with unpredictable storylines, and I mean abandon any expectations you may have. Because it's a bit soap opera-y, but Māori-fied. And still manages to be relevant and funny, but also a little scary. I did not expect the scary. I love how the show switches between te reo and English seamlessly. I'd like to learn te reo. I have not yet, so I appreciate the subtitles. But even if you miss them, you kind of get the gist through context, enabling you to put two and two together. So Ahikaroa's characters are fiercely loyal to each other, like literally ride or die type characters. And in my binging, I've seen them go through other characters' deaths together, family problems, sexuality and gender, just plain rangatahi issues. We have Gio, who's fun and flirty. She's the main character. And Hemi, who's her flatmate. So they all live together in this house they call Te Pā. And they just have this community of young Māori who are doing life together, basically.
So it's very much character-based, relationship-based. It is a drama series. Does it have strong kind of plot lines, or is it more everyday life?
It's a bit of both. It does have some strong plot lines. You have a few plot lines where characters come from broken homes, where you follow their life, and then there are also sort of spirituality plot lines that go into sort of the spiritual plane, where characters learn about their heritage and sort of spiritual things happen where someone is kidnapped and they have to find that person. Also, characters deal with their sexuality and coming out, and there are plot lines that are followed throughout the series, but at the same time, you also get slice of life moments with them.
Alrighty, so the fifth season has premiered, I think, on Māori Plus. That's March 29th it was, and Whakata Māori, 9:30pm on March 30. And I think there's 18 episodes coming, so those who are loving it have got plenty to feast on. What's with Dreamland, which is on Neon and Sky Go from the 6th of April?
Yes, so Dreamland is a dramedy, 6 episodes, which follows 4 sisters in Margate in England, the sunny side of Britain. I didn't know there was a sunny side of Britain, of England, but
it's
not
the continent, isn't it?
But this show follows these 4 sisters. It explores that comedic storylines of multi-generational female relationships and their somewhat dysfunctional family dynamics. What does that mean? It gets messy. And I'm talking families in the closet, family members in the closet not wanting to come out and hiding it from everybody else, sisters turning up out of nowhere after being away for a long time, you don't know why, but there's a reason. Her life is messy in general. I mean, she's in Paris, and they think she's having a great time. She's not. She hates it. But she comes back to her family where her high-maintenance sister is having a third child to her partner, and she's hoping it's a girl because she's got 2 boys. the other sister's overlooked, you know, but she's writing a story about their lives and they don't know this. And she's reading out excerpts in her writing class, which everyone thinks is hilarious and don't realize is based on her real life.
Oh, shivers. So there's some great dynamics here, right? But surely it's got to hit a crisis point at some point.
It does. And when it does, things just come toppling over. I mean, it threatens to sort of bring the family to a point of dissolution, you know? So you have these secrets that threaten to topple the family over. And it does come to a head during the show, and you're going to want to see what happens.
You're not going to give it away. All right.
No.
Okay, good one. So that is Dreamland, which is Neon Sky Go from Thursday 6th of April. The Portable Door, I think that's out today, and it is in some cinemas, yeah?
Yes, so in selected cinemas out today, I think Harry Potter and Monsters, Inc. sort of put together, a doors from Monsters, Inc. that can go to any room, but not paralleled by children's laughs or screams.
Introduce us to some of the characters.
All right, so you have a clumsy fella, Paul Carpenter, played by Patrick Gibson. Who's just trying to get a job in London, where the cost of living must be through the roof. So it's understandable he's literally trying to work anywhere. But he lands a job, quote-unquote, coincidentally, at a place called J.W. Wells & Co. And you kind of learn that, you know, you kind of see that there's something quite otherworldly or magically about the company from the get, but there's more to it than meets the eye, as it is with all of these magical movies and whatnot. But you also have some, you know, it's a star-studded cast. You've got Christoph Waltz as the CEO of the company, and especially our own Sam Neill, who actually steals the scene every time he's on screen. I love his character. He's playing this grumpy 2IC who wants nothing to do with the main character. It's really hilarious. And of course, we've got Rachel House as...
It's the Hunt for the Wilder People gang's back.
I know. It's great.
Where's Julian?
well, unfortunately, he's not in there. But, you know, you've got two out of the three. So she's a high-ranking executive who's just always a delight when she's on screen. So... it's a good one to catch with your kids. There's plenty of wonder to be had, as well as, you know, slapstick and child-friendly laughs that the kids will appreciate.
And then as in cinemas, it's interesting, isn't it, with streaming, you just wonder how long and what the lure is of getting together and going. Do you still go and watch things live in cinemas?
I do get out to watch the odd film and the movies just for the experience. You know, you get your popcorn, dip your chopped top into the popcorn, but not as often because, you know, you just wait.
For sure. Great for the kids, though, too, isn't it, to actually physically go to a place. I mean, I know TVs are getting to the size where they're just about the same as a cinema screen, but it's a whole kind of different experience, isn't it, you know, and needing to sort of shush and sit and concentrate.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the last time we took – he's two now, but my one-year-old, he was one just when we took him to the cinemas for the first time. And, you know, there are times where had to sort of get up and walk him out, then walk him back in and sit him down. And for the most part, he loved it. You know, he had his popcorn and he was watching happily. It really is an experience for the kids to have at least once in their lifetime.
Dip your chalk into the popcorn. You've just started a whole new craze. Thanks. Excellent stuff, Lamartha. Thanks so much for your time.